From the studios of Books in Motion, this is Rebecca Rogers reading The Hunt for the Five, Phantasmic Wars, Book 4, by L. Holly. Now let's begin with Chapter 1. Katie held her breath, her heart thudding in her ears like the hooves of a horse. Never before in her 11 years of life had she been so painfully aware of how loud her breathing could be. Crouched next to the gray, frozen body of her friend Charisse, she shivered, though the air beneath the canopy of mismatched trees was warm. She wished for some other sound to distract her from her own breaths and thudding heartbeat, but this part of the hidden jungle, so close to Gowan's stronghold at the base of the invisible volcano, was eerily quiet.
"Charisse?"
Katie whispered again, not really expecting a response. It had been hours since Charisse had accidentally touched the blank and turned gray. Hours since her other friends, Tom, Chad, and Melissa, had left with the one artifact they still had in their possession, the school picture of a girl.
"I was the one who told them to go to Chad's imagination,"
Katie reminded herself as the pit of worry in her stomach grew to the size of a watermelon.
"It was my idea."
These reassurances did nothing to rid her sense of unease.
"We had to split up,"
she told herself, her inner voice sounding shaky.
"It's our best chance. We've got to bring back at least 3 artifacts so our 2 worlds don't collapse." "What should I do, though?"
she asked of no one in particular. If anyone was listening, they didn't answer. Charisse's arms, gray like the rest of her body, gray like the blank that was quickly taking over Phantasmagoria, remained wrapped around the tree trunk. Shifting her weight, Katie sat back, considering her situation. Gowan's army would definitely be back this way. Gowan, the oldest soul-sucker in Phantasmagoria and commander of a vast army of nightmare creatures, didn't strike Katie as someone who would be forgiving of those who crossed her. Unfortunately, Katie fell into that category. She and her friends had tried to infiltrate Gowan's base with the help of their newfound pixie friend, Oxa. Oxa had let herself get captured immediately to give Katie and the others time to run. Thinking of the pixie and other friends captured by Gowan only worsened the worried feeling in the pit of Katie's stomach. Would she ever hear Roll's musical laugh again? See the comically large mustache of Sir Winkleston? Touch Lornap's velvety smooth wings? Smell the ripe odor of Grandid after a long march? Actually, she could do without smelling the warthog like Grandid, but even though he was smelly and a little scary, he was a hard worker, and she appreciated him for that. Katie shuddered, not wanting to think about what Gowan's minions might be doing to her captive friends. Looking down at the ground below, she forced her mind back to the task at hand.
"One step at a time,"
she muttered to herself, echoing the words of her father. It was his reminder to her that she could do any task put in front of her if she only took it one step at a time, rather than focusing on everything that needed to be done. She had to be reminded a lot. Her brain liked to look at the whole picture and then shut down, overwhelmed at the enormity of everything she had to do. But this time, it was not just her homework at stake. She knew Gowan's army would find her sooner or later. And then what? She bit her lip and glanced at Charisse, her mind working furiously. The blank didn't just turn Phantasmagorians gray like it did to Charisse. It made them disappear. Forever. So it was unlikely they would attempt to bring Charisse anywhere. She touched the silver bracelet on her wrist. Would it still work to find Charisse, if she needed it to, even if Charisse was frozen? A faint, rhythmic stomping sound broke the silence. Katie's breath caught. It was time to do something.
"I'll come back for you,"
Katie said to Charisse, hoping that somehow, some way...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?